Heart and Talent Radio.
Fired up, everybody. Jeffrey Combs, president and founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Just getting a little tweaked up here, getting it all dialed in. Got my microphone over here. Got my homeboy, Dylan Albertson, right over there. Now, Dylan informed me that once upon a time, he intercepted how many passes in a college game, Dylan?
I intercepted two and ran one back.
So Dylan had two picks in a Division II college game, and one was a pick six. That's my homeboy. Step in here, Dylan. This is Mr. Dylan Albertson, newest addition to the GMS Rockstar team. Now, we also have Ray Cataline in the background. Ray does a lot of internet and email marketing for me, and Chris, the Cruiser Char. So that is the team. And then my fiance, soon-to-be wife, Jana Ina Freitas. It will be Freitas Combs in 2 weeks. So that is the GMS Dream Team. And as I promised, I said I would bring a little edge to today's call. And I had my bow and arrow out early this morning, my long bow, and I was just doing a little target practice. So just getting dialed in for the call. Now, this is my whiteboard and my eraser. Those of you who've seen me speak and travel the country seeing me speak, I'm very skilled at whiteboard and putting content on the whiteboard. I'm going to deliver content for you today. I have a very unique call for your call. I have a very unique Facebook Live for you today. I'll also be doing one at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight. I want to recognize my exceptional host, Diane Hunt Hughes, or Diane Hughes Hunt, who will be hosting me in the White Plains, New York area on December 14th, and I have a lot of excitement for that event. I have missed two back-to-back events due to a couple of challenging situations that happened. The San Francisco airport, half the runways were shut down, and then I ran into conflicts on the last one, so this is guaranteed, and I will be back in Saddlebrook, New Jersey in January, February, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. So if you're on today's Facebook Live, welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, this is one of my favorite books. I bring a lot of books to my Facebook Lives. This book is a game changer, Why You Behave in Ways You Hate. This is another one of the books I've had for many, many years. Notice all my books are perfect. It's because I keep them in perfect shape. I don't loan books. I don't give them to wives or girlfriends. I am very, very meticulous about my books. Mr. Scott Huminsky, good to see you on today's call. Kimberly Loveless, Aaron Knight, and my homeboy, Mr. Matt Smith. Matt, good to see you, my brother. Matt and I go way back, like way back in my world is a few years. Scott Huminsky, I remember, came and saw me speak in Milwaukee. Scott's a top-tier client and friend. And if I see you on the call today, Debbie Ferrari, good to see you this afternoon. Kimberly Loveless has hosted events for me. So let's move into the content today. So that book I showed you, Why You Behave in Ways You Hate. Well, today's topic for the Facebook Live is silencing your inner critic. So this book is very pertinent because this book breaks down a lot of cause and effects, which is what I assist my clients to really understand is this: why I do what I do. Now, when you live in denial, don't understand, tell yourself, I don't know. I don't understand why I do this. I approach and avoid. I walk up to my business and now I'm in the refrigerator. I have good intention but a poor delivery. I don't know what to say, who to be, what to do. These are very common commonalities. What a large percent of the population does is they have a romance with owning a business, but they're not really in it. They're outside of it, standing behind it. They want to, like to, not certain, not sure who to be, what to do. Now, the letting go process allows you to silence the stories in the emotional chatter. And most importantly, letting go will assist you to silence your inner critic. If you grow up in a household where you're not good enough, you are the last child, you're an accident, you're the first child, you're an accident, or you're the golden boy and there's a lot of pressure on you, any multitude of situations, and you have to perform as a grown-up, as a child, what happens is you lost your innocence. And if you grow up in a household with alcoholism, violence, any multitude of situations, if you've been traumatized by a brother, a sister, teammates on the playground, you're picked last, you're singled out at school and you're told that you have ADD, ADHD, you're a slow learner, and then you get labeled as a retard. Someone calls you that, which is a very condescending term to be called, because then you're labeled. Now, I grew up in the 60s, and there was a lot of hazing that went on. There was a lot of abuse, a lot of sexual molestation. Teachers could beat us. They could hit us with sticks. They could hit us with rulers. A lot of situations that would happen to us. I recently hosted an event where I had 38 people in the event, and I asked them, how many of you have been beaten by a wooden spoon with a parent, specifically a mother? Half the room raised their hand. That's 19 of 38. So we as grown-ups, we as the baby boom, and then underneath the baby boom down into the 20s, 30s, and 40s, we have been through a lot of events that have shaped our feelings. And if you are living in a body that runs your brain that says, I'm not good enough, then you'll find yourself avoiding the desired outcome that you want to live your freedom. Now, if that is you, you want to be able to accept that and then move into a state of forgiveness, gratitude, and action so that you can let go of not being good enough. If you're not good enough, you'll be highly critical of yourself. So someone will give you a compliment and you go, yeah, but that is a beautiful dress. Oh, this old thing, I bought it at a thrift store. Now, once again, someone just gave you a compliment. You de-edified the compliment. Didn't even know that someone gave you a compliment. And you de-edified the compliment because you are not good enough. As you begin to let go, letting go means separate your feelings from the events. This is not a broken record. I'm going to say this in every single Facebook Live I do for the rest of my life, that letting go is a skill. And if you're always letting go, if you live in a state of let go, then you won't be humiliated because you live in humility. You won't be rejected because consciousness and esteem does not acknowledge rejection. So in the last 4 days, I had five people tell me they were going to hire me, I'm going to buy from you, but, and so none of them rejected me. And many of them told me what they thought I wanted to hear, but I understand what it really means when I'm going to get back to you. It means whatever it means. And letting someone go means you let them go easily and effortlessly without personalizing it, without making them wrong or making yourself wrong. Now, if you live in your head and you process, you think, you analyze, and a lot of that analyzation is critical behavior, and you keep going over and over the mistakes you've made, and you've also been traumatized, molested, victimized, any multitude of situations, that would be shame. And then if someone has used guilt to control you and you feel guilty about asking for commitments, asking for money, asking for influence, asking for referral, any multitude of situations, then once again, you're going to be living in your head. And then when you don't follow through, when you start and don't finish, your body gets a neurochemical high from the start and then disappointment from not finishing. So that's the contradiction that a lot of people live in. It's the up-down, the yo-yo emotional effect. Now this book, Why You Behave in Ways You Hate, by Gutnick, there's it right there, Erwin Gutnick, a groundbreaking book. And I covered similar content in my book, The Breakthrough Factor, on the cause that creates the effect. These are the events that shape the feelings. And as you have a better understanding of the timeline, the chronology, when this happened, why this happened to you, how your body reacts to the stimulus. Now, in the let go process, rather than reacting in fight or flight, which is a flinch state like this, as you learn to release, means you're letting go. As you learn to not be critical. See, here's what can happen when you let go of being critical. You can do this. Now, this is my whiteboard. Now, Mr. Dylan Albertson, we have a developing situation. That was the black pen, but fortunately, I have a backup. I'm a black and a blue guy. Now, you may remember the album by the Rolling Stones in 1979. Called Black and Blue. So what many people don't understand is that you can let go of being critical, but you can do this. You can be, here's the word, H-O-N-E-S-T. You can be honest. You can be honest with self. So you can be honest. You can look at the situation for what it is. You can be honest that you avoided. You can be honest with that. You can be honest that you're overwhelmed, but that doesn't mean you have to criticize yourself. Honesty is acceptance. And once you move into acceptance, you can accept that I have some challenges. But that doesn't mean I'm a loser. Having a challenge doesn't mean you're a loser. It means you have a challenge. And being committed to change means you're committed. That means you're moving into recovery. And that recovery emotional state is what begins to set you free. So the neurons that wire and fire. Now, this is what this looks like. Neurons that wire and fire form feelings. So neurons that wire and fire, they're like this. They look like this on a whiteboard. Or they look like this on a slide, like this. They look like that. And then what happens is when you start to go into fight or flight or anxiety, they come together. They come together and they cluster, and then they form a feeling. And that feeling they form is called an emotion. So that emotion is anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy. So if you drop down into apathy because you're critical of yourself, and being critical is a very low level of energy. So if you're highly critical of yourself, you're moving into your own level of rejection. And it can be hate. And when you really move into that state of hating yourself, that's when you cut yourself, burn yourself, mutilate yourself. You're in very destructive behavior. And then you go in, you bottom out, and then you make this big comeback and come back to the top. So it's this up and down roller coaster that a large percent of society rolls in. Then the medical community likes to call that bipolar. Now, I like to call that repressed feelings. And when you hold on to repressed feelings that you don't understand, that's, I don't know, I don't understand why I do this. Why does this happen to me? I can't believe I did this. I had a good intention and a poor delivery. That's what it means, a good intention and a poor delivery. It means you set out, but instead of ending at the finish line, you're over here in the bleachers again, watching yourself not perform so you can be disappointed. And that was a good one, watching myself not perform so I can be disappointed. Now, understanding that content. Scott, how are you today? Look forward to coaching you. So when you understand cause and effect and why you do what you do, that means that now you're in awareness. Ah, I understand this. It's not get it. You don't get it. You know it. You understand it. Now, if you are part of sobriety consciousness, there's some great content in there. If you're watching this Facebook Live, you've not joined the private group, Sobriety Consciousness, has about 1,300 members organically. I just started that group this spring, and there's some great content in there. Scott Lucas did a video just recently that I loved. Jared does great content. Monica does great content. I do videos in there. There's Jennifer Lancaster creates great content. There's a lot of great content writers in there that can only assist you with sobriety, recovery, consciousness, awareness, understanding, knowing. It's a specific group specifically for the let go process. Now, once you start to understand letting go, your reflexes change. So if you're in the batter's box like this, and you're flexible like this, and you're moving the bat in your hands, you have a high probability of being able to roll your wrist, and you can hit something you can't see. But if you're all uptight like this, and you've got your arms bound into your sides like this, well, unfortunately, that's how a lot of people attempt to communicate or convey a message. And then they're so worried about making a mistake, overwhelmed about offending someone, worried about getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing, actually saying the right thing, and someone joins them, then what would I do? I can't lead because I can't lead myself. This is the communication. This is self-talk. It's the way a lot of people communicate. If you actually listen to yourself, communicate with yourself, what would you hear? Ask yourself. Change your self-talk. That means that your dialogue with self, your dialogue with money, your dialogue with receiving, deserving, and being able to articulate your feelings into words begins to change. It begins to improve. Now, when you come into that state of awareness, you raise your consciousness. Raising your consciousness means that you elevate your energy. So your cycles per second go from 25 to 50 to 100 to 180 cycles a second, where you flatten out at doubt, and then you elevate yourself up into courage, where you're courageous enough to access a different level of content. You change your self-talk. You stop criticizing yourself. You're honest with yourself. Being honest means you can objectively look at what you've done, own what you've done without being critical, and then adapt and adjust. This isn't something you can go a million miles a minute and be JoJo the Indian Circus boy or girl and get all geeked up and you're gonna fucking crush it. And you're going to do this and that and this and that, and it's not going to happen like that. When you can relax in your body, when you can be cerebral, when you can be methodical, systemized, and organized, and really focus on building a long-term business one day at a time. If your objective is to be a millionaire, then you start to feel like one. You cannot feel like a millionaire when you're critical of yourself. Now, I had an objective to be a millionaire, whatever that meant to me, it meant to me. What it meant to me is I wanted to move to Los Angeles, California. I wanted to own a Mercedes. I wanted to own real estate. I wanted to live a good life. I wanted to dine in the restaurants I wanted to dine in. I wanted to experience the culture of Los Angeles lifestyle. I wanted to go to the beach on my terms and my time frame. And I'd never even been to Los Angeles, but I had a romance for it. I had a vision of the outcome I sought to create. I wanted to visit the Getty Museum. I wanted to go to Will Rogers Beach. I wanted to go to Will Rogers Ranch. I wanted to experience Brentwood, Bel Air, and a lot of the situations I'd seen on television. I had a romance with it. That's what you require, is a romance with yourself rather than being critical of yourself. If you're critical of yourself, you can't get out of the box. You can't get off the starting line because you'll hold on to a set of feelings that keep you doing the same thing over and over. I just saw my client, Teresa Humphreys, on here. Teresa, great to coach you today. You're a first-class woman. So it takes courage to hire a coach, someone who can confront your ego. And your ego is your lower self. It's not your higher self. Your ego doesn't mean you're arrogant or egotistic. Your ego is that lower self that wants to hold on and be critical. The ego wants to say, yeah, but don't you think that, no, you, when you move out of your egoic mind and you move into being present here and now, you stop doubting yourself. There is no yeah, but in consciousness. Consciousness does not access yeah, but. Consciousness understands now and know and trust and understand and aware, and there is no doubt. And when you're out of doubt, you're in consciousness, you're aware. So when you're listening to someone, you're hearing what's meant, and you're not like processing and thinking and analyzing and ruminating and holding on and trying to figure it out, exhausting yourself to be exhausted. When you move out of that exhausted state and you move into awareness, now you know. So when you're leading a conversation, you're intently listening. You're hearing what's meant, not said. You take a word from that sentence and you move it into this sentence. You ask a question, you keep the conversation moving. And that's what you learn to do. You methodically move. You move the chess pieces from A to B, C to D, E to F. You don't go from A to Z. It doesn't work like that. You don't, owning a business, typically you're not a rainbow maker. You don't hit home runs. It's a methodical process. Now, once you start to move into the compounded effect, that's when home runs happen. That's when people begin to show up. That's when the game changes. But that game does not change when you are holding on to a set of feelings that keep you critical of self and critical of others. When you're judgmental of self, you'll judge others. When you're critical of self, you'll criticize others. When you find flaws in others, you'll find flaws in yourself. And if you're an addicted flaw finder, analyzer, thinker, processor, you'll figure a way out of being successful because you have deep-seated anxieties about being responsible. Unfortunately, a large percent of society holds on to a set of feelings perpetuating the same situation over and over to create a similar outcome. Anne Marie Santero, good to see you. Great to have you on today's call. Beth Lansing, Henning, great to see you. Diane, Joylene, Ophelia, Mary, and Scott Huminsky. So I want to acknowledge everyone I see on today's Facebook Live. Now, this was the overview of today's Facebook Live. Now, I've covered several of these points, but your critical advisor, whose voice am I hearing? That was point one. Who was the critical person who showed up in your life? Was it a brother, a sister, mother, father, grandfather? Was it a babysitter? I had recently had a breakthrough. I realized that my parents never spanked me. However, the babysitter did. I remember the babysitter, and I've forgotten this. I'd completely repressed this until an event 2 weeks ago. I remember her name, her first and last name, the town it was, Hopkins, Missouri. Her son was traumatizing me, and I got into conflict with him, and she fired me as her babysitter and spanked me several times. I had that recollection. I had repressed that memory until 2 weeks ago. I remember holding me by the wrist, dangling me in the air, going like this. Now, you may have some of these same feelings that you have forgotten or you've repressed. Now, what is the significance of that? Well, it means my body was going into fight or flight like this, flexing and flinching. And so when you grow up with someone that's critical, someone that you're not good enough for, or if you have a parent who competes with you, or a brother or sister competes with you, and or you're compared to someone else, then you're not good enough. So if you're not good enough, that means your body and brain connection starts to feel like you're criticized. And if you're criticized, you become sensitive, defensive, rejection and abandonment becomes a way of life, you'll attract people and situations to fulfill your feelings so that you can feel rejected and abandoned. And your brain and body will collude to create this sensation called cortisol. It'll create a neurochemical to fulfill those feelings. Now, once you start to live in understanding and aware of this, or you hire me to be your coach, I'll do a chronological timeline for you, walk you through a series of events that you still hold on to, provided you're able to move beyond, I don't know, when, as you move beyond that. as you move into the here and now, that's called the present, as you start to become honest with yourself and stop putting other people in pedestals and stop worrying about protecting other people. As you learn to let go, that's the separation of feelings and events, then you're not the mind-body connection to those events you hold on to. That's what changes your energy, changes who and what you attract, allows you to condense your sentence style. As you start to move out of these gaps and delays you have in your sentence, probably, kinda, sorta. When you let go of mistakes, if you live in mistake consciousness and you start to speak from self, if you start to be yourself and not worried about these mistakes you could make, did make, might make, haven't made, or going to make, as you let go of being exhausted, and you move into higher consciousness, awareness, understanding, and knowing, and you start to practice this over and over and over, the repetition and experience. It's what an athlete does. They shoot free throws at a 15-point line on a wooden floor, dropping a large ball into a small cylinder. They stand in a batter's box, and they roll their wrists, roll their hips, and they take batting practice. I was putting my arrow on my bow this morning, my longbow, going like this, remembering the muscle memory I used to have as a child, stringing up a 15-pound Ben Pearson, pulling an arrow out of the quiver over and over and over again. It was target practice with the .22 Harrington Richards 9-shot pistol I had when I was 6 years old. It was shooting the free throws over and over on the wood floor in South at a high school called South Page, right outside of Clarinda, Iowa, dropping the ball in the cylinder over and over, an emotional muscle memory. But see, there's the reverse side of this is you have a lot of time of being criticized. You're not good enough. 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 Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you get it? Why didn't you get an A? Why'd you get a B plus? Why didn't you get an A? Why are you 5 minutes late? You know, when you're criticized over and over, when you have a parent that competes with you because they are threatened by you, it makes it very challenging for you to have any self-esteem. When you have a parent who's an alcoholic and is violent and throws you up against the wall or challenges you and challenges your manhood or your womanhood or any multitude of situations, or they violate you or do any multitude of situations, or you grow up in this kind of household, your body starts to react to the stimulants. Now your body has a high tolerance to being an emotional addict, anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings. And you move into a business and you want to prospect, attract people, create an income, develop a culture, develop a team, and you're told that you're required a content write and you're afraid about putting yourself out there because someone might judge you. When you live in that type of energy, you attract your reality, the very situation you seek to avoid. Now, as you have a better understanding of this, and you let go of this anxiety, the fear, and the doubt that keeps you on with your foot on first base and your foot in the batter's box, that's a long stretch, because you're too afraid to leave safety. When you play it safe, then that's what you do. You are safe. You've succeeded. You are safe. When you're not playing to be safe, you're playing to learn the repetition and experience. Winning isn't the option. Learning the skills is the option. When you start to learn the skills, emotional skills of letting go, now you can communicate more effectively. But when you hold on to making mistakes, getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing, now you have an excuse to avoid, now you can be disappointed, and now you can criticize yourself. As you begin to let go of these feelings, then you won't be intimidated by other people, and you won't be intimidated by the thought of being successful. How am I going to keep success when I haven't even had it yet? See, the function of your inner critic, this is what your inner critic does. It attunes you to guilt. It protects you from rejection. It pushes you to avoid confrontation. It pushes you not to succeed. It keeps you in control of negative feelings, and then it puts you in a place of right, wrong, black, white. That's what your inner critic does to you, because it's good and bad, black and white, right and wrong, win or lose. And if you're not winning, then you're losing. So then you're critical of yourself. So you can't, when you have an inner critic that you hold on to, it robs you of all joy because you can't enjoy anything because you're not good enough. So your communication style is filled with yeah, but, you don't understand. That was a great effort. Yes, but we didn't win. I understand, but I didn't say that. I said it was a great effort. So in recovery, that would be acceptance. You begin to accept where you are, who you are. You focus on change one day at a time. You let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control. And you create new emotional strategies to let go. You have a better understanding of what letting go really means. Now, if you attended the Protégé Quantum Consciousness event, I put you in alignment with some of the greatest healers I could possibly attract in my last 4 years of being a coach. And so that's the law of alignment. As you begin to align with other like-minded success seekers, like-minded homeopathic seekers, like-minded seekers who seek the truth, who understands what's going on in the world, and they don't focus on the negativity, they focus on the results and the production that can be created, regardless of what's going on in the inner world, you focus on your, on with regardless on the outer world, you focus on what's on your inner world, right here, right now, what's right in front of me, who can I be, what can I do, rather than getting overwhelmed. And as you live in that state of awareness consciousness, you start to de-age. You don't hold on to so many feelings. I'm going to be 63 here in a short period of time. So the number, that's number 9. 6 and 3 equals 9 in the law of numerology. And you want to feel your best you, regardless of how young or how old you are. It's your best. That's what you focus on, being your best, not your worst critic. Not your worst critic. You want to be your best advocate. See, what many people are is they're their own worst critic. And then someone compliments them and they don't hear it because they're their own worst critic. You want to be your best advocate. There's nothing arrogant about that. That's spirituality, my best advocate, being my best me. And there's nothing selfish about that. Self-esteem does not access selfishness because self-esteem is self-love. And in self-love, you can't be rejected because rejection does not enter the house of esteem, because esteem is consciousness. Consciousness is awareness. Consciousness is humility. So in humility, you can't be humiliated because you're conscious and you love yourself. And when you love yourself, you can love others. But if you don't love yourself, you won't attract love. You'll attract rejection and abandonment to fulfill the fact that you're critical. As you let go of being critical, now you can become the person that you are capable of becoming. Now, my superstar and rock star friend and client, Diane Hughes Hunt, is on here. His fake with a light. I want to really give Diane the gratitude that she deserves. Diane has been a top-tier client of mine for going on. We're going into our fifth year. Diane is going to be hosting the White Plains, it's in the White Plains, Rybrook area, December 14th. Now, I've taken almost 2 months off on purpose. I have never done that before in my 22-year career, and I'm not criticizing myself. I deserved it. I'm getting married. Hey, I deserve it. I can take a few days off, taking a vacation in December, going to Hawaii. So looking forward to 2020. I'll be bringing the More Heart Than Talent, the more advanced, accelerated version of Jeffrey Combs, and a higher degree of letting go. So I'll be bringing letting go to cities across the United States in 2020. Gratitude and love for all of you. Have a great afternoon. Jeffrey Combs, More Heart Than Live. If you've not accessed or received a free 20-minute coaching call, go up into Messenger, access that, and I will get back to you immediately. Wayne D. Clark, good to see you, baby. Look forward to coaching you. Matt, see you. Effie, good to see you. Maureen, I see a few of you on there. So Jennifer, good to see you. Have a great afternoon, everyone. My boy Dylan will wrap us up here, and I'm going to go back to producing. Have a great afternoon.
Have a great one, everybody.
Dylan.